Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. I really want you to listen carefully to Dr. Fareed Kavari. He is the author of Towards a Zero-Cost Economy, a blueprint to create general economic security in a carefree economy. He has a PhD from the University of Bremen and a master's at the University of Hamburg, Germany in economics. He's actually the author of 9 books published in the U.S., Germany, and Iran. He has written numerous articles on energy, economics, and politics, published in economic journals and other publications in the U.S., Germany, and the Netherlands, Austria, and former Yugoslavian Iran. He is the chairman of the Institute for a Zero-Cost Economy, and he is running for the governor of the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Fareed Kavari to It's Rainmaking Time. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think most of us really consider what you're talking about. What is a zero-cost economy? It's kind of a paradigm blower, you know? What is a zero-cost economy? What are you really saying?
You see, the fact is, Kim, that if the costs keep increasing and the income for a while it will increase and there is the income could cover the cost, but eventually it will come a time that people lose their job, they get retired, and they get sick, they cannot work, or they have to live on a saving or a fixed income. At that point, if the costs keep rising, every one of us are doomed to poverty, and we cannot maintain that lifestyle, and we have to downsize our lifestyle and eventually end up in poor houses, which is happening at the present time. So what we have to do with the zero-cost economy, what I mean is that we have to implement all types of measures that we could reduce. First, freeze the cost. Secondly, we reduce the cost and eventually eliminate them wherever it's possible. For instance, in energy sector, we could eliminate the cost totally after we implemented and employed systems, energy systems, that can produce renewable energies like solar, wind, and the like. At that point, after we paid off this cost of the system, the energy will be free. We can reduce the cost of healthcare drastically. Immediately about 30%. We can eliminate the cost of insurance. The same thing.
I need to stop you for just a moment. I just want to go back because you said a lot of things in one mouthful.
Yeah.
When you talk about freezing the cost, to people that are market oriented, it sounds scary. What do you mean by freezing the cost?
Freezing the cost means that we have to get rid of reoccurring costs. Just to give you an example,
Please, for instance,
the oil companies, they think they have to produce oil and gasoline in order to survive. So they go and exploit the oil everywhere in the world. Now we see it, what's happening in Gulf of Mexico. And we have an environmental problem, a disaster, the worst one in the history of mankind, probably. And now this we cannot maintain like that. Now you ask me, what should they do? They should manufacture solar systems, and they can make more money there. And now what happens to people? The reoccurring cost goes away. People do not need to pay for gasoline on the gas station. They can power their cars with solar energy, with electricity derived from solar energy. And the oil company can manufacture solar system and sell them. You know, there are 8-9 billion people worldwide. So they will never live that long, any of us, to manufacture all that system in our lifetime. So they should go in that direction. What should FPNL do, Florida Power and Light, or other electrical companies? They should manufacture solar system or windmills.
I don't know about windmills. I did a show on windmills, and I used to think, too, that windmills should be invested in, only to find out that there's a lot of hidden costs and there's a lot of inefficiency. But I am for you when you talk about solar. My question to you, Fareed, is when you talk about reoccurring costs, that's what big companies want to have on their books. And when something becomes an entity, that has a parasitic function. Reoccurring costs are critical to a parasitic organism. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. But they could. The issue is the reoccurring cost happens for the consumer. For the company, it is reoccurring income. But they could have that reoccurring income by manufacturing environmentally safe product like solar system and like windmills. Now, there is also wind catcher, which I present on my zero cost economy, and that is being done. The city I come from, we had for years and years when the heat outside was like 110 degree, we could have inside our houses around 70 degree cold air. And what really we used to build towers, catch the wind. We do not need too much wind in desert. Sometimes during the summer month, we didn't have at all any kind of wind. We had a little bit breeze, and that these wind towers used to catch them. And as they flow downward, the heat used to rise up and dissipate, whereas the cool air would flow inside the building. And this is what we should be doing, passive solar energy or wind energy. We should be creating those kind of things. When I was talking about wind energy, that is another part of it. And I show it on the picture of it on my zerocosteconomy.com, how to do it. And these are the technology we should be doing. Now you would be saying they cannot make money, oil company cannot make money by producing, manufacturing these wind towers and installing on the houses in Florida, in California, in Texas. They could make more money than ever they could wish. Now, there is no environmental problem involving that other than some waste of manufacturing stuff. Other than that, there is nothing there. There is no pollution whatsoever. And these are the things we should be doing, and these companies should be going in those directions. Now, remember General Motors and Chrysler. They didn't develop the lithium battery some 10 years ago when they should have been doing that at that time. They didn't do it. And as a result of it, you know what happened to them. Had they done that 10 years ago, GM would have been the most prospering company in the United States.
I have to share something with you that's kind of interesting, and it ties into what you're talking about. There was a gentleman named Ted Levitt who wrote for the Harvard Business Review, and he wrote a phenomenal book called The Marketing Imagination. And in that, he gave an example of how the railroads had the opportunity to get into other methods of transportation. But because they perceived themselves as a railroad company and not a transportation company, they were not poised for the opportunity to expand. And so the oil companies see themselves in the oil industry, in the oil business, very much like the railroads. Only the railroads ended up not expanding to meet the demand of other kinds of transportation. And so they missed the boat. The oil companies will miss the boat too. And that's, I think, what you're saying. They don't see themselves as being part of and integral to and players in these other expanding areas.
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm trying to say. And you said it very well. This is where they should be going. If the object is to make money, they can make it other way also. They are already in different businesses. Go to every gas station, at Shell gas station, BP, you will see they are selling lottery, they are selling foods, they are selling drinks and all kinds of things, drugs, medicine, everything they are selling there. So they might as well get into solar energy manufacturing, passive solar energy, and all those kind of things, and they should make more money, even more than what they are doing, and never run into problem like recently they ran into Gulf of Mexico. And this is outrageous, because if we as a nation decide to exist more than next 50 or 100 years, we should think a little bit differently. crude oil reserves are limited, no matter where else they find it. Even if they find it in sky and in universe, still they are limited. So what we should be doing is keep those precious raw material as a source of raw material, as a source of medicine and food. For energy, we should use solar energy, passive solar energy.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can we talk about the passive solar energy? Because I don't know what you're talking about, and you do. What do you mean?
You see, passive solar energy system, you could also create windmill is one of, the wind towers is one of those. You capture the cool air, and convert it to cool air, and you eliminate the use of air conditioning.
But we're talking about passive solar. Give us a context
for that. Passive solar,
that
is, designing houses in a way that we cool the space in our houses. Like, there are different designs out there.
Okay.
One which I like the most, is the one that we have it in the city I come from. It's Yazd, and that city we have wind catcher, and this wind catcher, you can capture the wind. It is in form of power, and it doesn't matter from which direction you get the wind, you can capture it, and then it flows down the wind, it cools off, and the heat dissipates towards upward. And as a result of it, we get like 70 degrees, 75 degrees, up to sometimes 60 degree cool air, depending how tall the tower is. And that is pretty cool. And this happens in areas where we have hot, we have heat over 110 degrees. Now, areas like Florida is a little bit problematic because we have humidity. So we have to install dehumidifier in the tower. As a result of it, we capture all the water, which is also a blessing at the same time, because we can convert that humidity into drinking water. And we can get a free source of water for ourselves in Florida. In areas like Texas and Arizona, where we have less humidity or no humidity, the system will work perfectly, but we cannot capture any humidity to convert it to drinking water.
You're also personally invested in solar too, aren't you?
Yes.
Talk about your own private investment in solar and why you've invested in it.
I came to United States in 1977. I came to Florida just to create a solar system, which I did, and we manufactured, and I have a patent also. And we developed quite a bit of different system. Among other, it was evacuated high temperature collector. And we were very successful back then. From 1980 till 1985, I was doing very well. Then, unfortunately, President Reagan came and eliminated the tax credit. As a result of it, we lost the business. We had developed at the same time, I was planning to develop an air conditioning system, which we were doing. It was working a little bit, but with limited resources, it was impossible to do it. But I was hoping to do it eventually by selling solar system and spending money in R&D. In this time, the Department of Energy, the U.S. Department of Energy asked me, they have a delegation from China, and there were some ministers and professors and very high-level people. They came to my plant and they asked me to show them. I did. And afterwards, I gave them one of these evacuated high-temperature tubes, which I developed back then as a sample to them. Back then, they didn't have, they were not so famous like today. They were not wealthy like they are today. And I gave them. And some 3 years ago, because I was disappointed, I gave up everything because my sales went down to zero, and I decided to abandon the whole thing because everybody was doing that. Then I went, so I gave them. 2 years later, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I went to a solar show in San Diego. And I see all these tubes, which I gave them some 25 years ago. They are on the market. The Chinese are manufacturing, and they are selling quite a bit of it. And when I asked them, I thought I may distribute this product now in the United States, and I asked them whether I could get a distributorship for Florida. They told me, no. If you are lucky, you can get it for Miami. And I told them, these are the tubes that I gave a sample to you, to your ministers and so on, back in 1985. And they looked at me as if I was joking with them. And the fact was, I did. And then at that point, I was thinking seriously, what is really happening with America? America is going down the drain. We gave everything, every manufacturing facility we had, we outsourced it to other countries in the world, and we have nothing now there. Now that as we are moving forward, America is going to become, due to unemployment and everything else is happening in Florida, in America, and elsewhere, and we are going to become a low-cost, low-labor-cost country. And the fact will be that very soon they will be erecting manufacturing plant in America, in Florida, and elsewhere. The question, the big question remains, who is going to own these facilities, us or the foreigner? And this is the big question today we as Americans have to decide, whether we want to work for other nation and become a third world country, or we want to be in charge of our own destiny. And this is where I am asking every single American people to start thinking about this thing and to try to start the manufacturing themselves and take control over their own destiny.
Florida is, I'm sure, in a state of concern about the Gulf and what's happening. And I don't know that they're capping that oil well or not. I know that there's an effort to. I don't know if it's done. But what do you think should happen in Florida regarding everything from banking to foreclosures to the generation of jobs? Talk about it. And why do you think you're suited to be governor?
Kim, you see, first of all, the oil spill in Gulf of Mexico, it was the biggest natural disaster in the history of mankind. I said, Florida is never going to be the same which we knew one time. You go out there, it is a very sad story. You see all the animals, the fish, the sharks, all kind of sea animals
life.
Are soaked in oil. Now, if we continue like that, our children and ourselves will be looking like that. We will be soaked in those oil, and we look those like animals today. So we have to change it. If I was a governor, I would ban the oil drilling in the state of Florida, and I would work towards it to ban along the coast of America everywhere. We should go for solar for very many reasons. And that is one of those is this. You see, we are importing oil. We are devaluing our currency. We are hurting our people. And if we go solar, we create a lot of jobs, a lot of good jobs, good paying jobs all over the nation. And as a result of it, we would need less oil. Now, many people tell me solar energy is not efficient,
and that it's expensive.
Prices, energy prices must rise in order to make it competitive and in order to make a substitution easy. I can tell you one thing, and this I found it when I was writing my dissertation in 1973. I came to the conclusion that if today somebody set the oil price to $200, $300, $1,000, there won't be a substitution of any kind. What will really happen, the economy of the West will go down the drain. Overnight, they go bankrupt. And it will never happen a substitution. So the rising oil price will never create a substitution of other oil through other energy sources. As a result of it, we have to do it ourselves right now. And I have been in solar energy. I know I have manufactured. I had a house that over 90% of it was running with solar energy until Hurricane Andrew destroyed it. And today I have a water heating. It's running on solar system. So it can be done.
I have a question. I need to stop you here for a second. Many of us think and have been told that solar is expensive. If it is, how do we bring the cost down so that people can get it?
You see, first of all, you have to consider the cost of oil that you are paying at the gas station is not what you are paying. The fact is, you have to take into consideration the wars which we are spending in Middle East, the cost of devaluation of dollar, the cost of unemployment, the cost of our soldiers who lost their precious life.
The cost of inflation.
Inflation, all this thing, when you consider, solar will be like a breeze. Now, of course, if you go, you or I or anybody else go to a solar company and say, install a solar system for me, they will charge you enormous amount of money. But as a governor, let's say if I was a governor and I'm planning to do that, I would, the day I, after inauguration, I would order 500,000 solar system every year and until we solarize Florida. We create a bank of the state of Florida. We provide 2% energy loan. And everybody who has a house, we ask them to put a solar system, and the monthly payment would be less than the saving derived from solar system, which they are paying towards electricity. It will be less. So they will lose nothing. They may end up putting $10, $20 a month in their pocket, and after 3-4 years, they own the solar system, and it will be generating energy for next 20, 30 years, unless a hurricane comes and destroys. Now, if you have a decentralized solar system, as opposed to centralized, centralized means that people, there is a big, huge plant somewhere, and it's generating solar energy, and that is no good, because in case of hurricane, if it gets destroyed, we will lose the source of energy. But if it's decentralized, and that means your house has one, mine has, and everybody else's, in case 20,000 houses get hit by, let's say, a hurricane, 20 million other houses will be functioning the very next second after the hurricane is gone.
That's very smart. That's very smart. That's really whole systems right there. That thinking is whole systems.
Yeah, and then it creates jobs everywhere throughout the United States. Let's say in the state of Florida with 500,000, we will be creating just in that very thing, without implementing any other areas of economy, we will be creating over 1 million new jobs within 3 years. We have calculated. And that is just... and we will be creating in every part of the state of Florida. And this is the way we should be going. As a result of it, we create jobs, income for people, and then we reduce the cost of their living. And that is where the zero-cost economy kicks in. Now, if any serious politician want to fight unemployment, they should implement the concept of zero-cost economy. That means that not only we reduce the reoccurring cost, we not only by reducing the cost of living, we will put the people in a position that they do not need to work as much as they used to do. Because today, the breadwinner of a family cannot support the family. Either he has to work 2 jobs or 3 jobs or have more member of the family work in order to feed themselves. By reducing the cost of living, we could put the people in a position they do not need to work. Now that will free a lot of jobs right there. But at the same time, since we have to manufacture products, like solar energy, in order to cut the cost of the living of the people, we will be creating additional jobs, over 1 million. In 3 years from now, if this plan is implemented, we have to export jobs from Florida, or we have to import people to Florida in order to keep up with the labor required labor.
Some people might, in their consciousness, say a zero-cost economy paradigm sounds like a socialistic thing. Is it?
It is not at all socialistic.
Talk about why it isn't, because I think some people may be nervous that markets won't have an opportunity to respond.
You see, in socialism, remember when I went to the University of Bremen, it was a Marxist university, and I wanted to know that view too. And in University of Hamburg, it was a very conservative university, and I learned that side also. So I understand both sides. In Marxism, in communism, in socialism, you don't own anything, nothing. In capitalism, you own things, but there are costs attached to it. For instance, if you pay off for your house, still you have to pay for the property taxes. So if you don't pay, you don't own it. They take it away from you. In zero-cost economy, once you pay for the thing, whatever it is, there is no cost attached to it, whether it's your house, whether it's your car, whether it's your boat, whether it's your energy system. Once you pay off for it, you have no cost attached to it. So in reality, we are creating zero-cost economy, a system which is more like general capitalism. That means that everybody is living in a true capitalism. Everybody owns things without being cost attached to it. What we have today in America, it's an elite capitalism. Only few rich and super rich people owns everything. The rest of us, we are like a slave. You don't pay your mortgage, you are out of your house. You don't pay your car payment, they take it away from you. And even once you pay for all of these things, still the government is after you, collecting the taxes and fees and everything
right.
else.
There's another part of this that's very much, I think, a part of your paradigm. In a zero-cost economy, you have the elimination of parasitic commercial activity. You have generative activity, but you eliminate the parasitic activity that is eating away at the potential of society.
Exactly. You are exactly correct. Because cost is the worst thing we are facing. What is destroying America is not Al-Qaeda, it's not terrorism, it's the cost. And people do not understand. When the bank, for instance, they charge you every time you make a turn, they charge you a fee here, a fee there, for late fees, for overdraft fees, for interest, for whatever it is. It is outrageous. People have fixed income. How can they pay that? If they, not all people are bad and not all, everybody is a crook. So a lot of people, they cannot pay because they do not have sufficient amount of money in order to pay. Now, if you extract more money from them, you suck the blood out of the vein of these poor people. So what you gain afterwards, they will fall apart and the whole system will fall apart, and the banks cannot gain anything. Look at the housing market with the foreclosure situation. They go and foreclose homes for one thing, and then next thing it happens, you look at their credit scores. If somebody foreclosed on a bank foreclosed on somebody's home, he will be get his credit rating score lowers 300 points. That means in this situation, this guy cannot buy anything.
He can't buy insurance. His insurance will skyrocket. If he applies for jobs, he will be suspect when employers look at the credit rating, which I can't even believe that employers have the right to look at anybody's credit rating. But I'll tell you something else that's very interesting. Mohamed Yunus of the Grameen Bank really demonstrated that the entire credit system is a farce. And demonstrated that good people all over the world want to pay back their loans. And he set something in motion over the last 20 some odd years, way before he got the Nobel Prize. But what's very interesting is that he has been allowed, quote, allowed to flourish in developing nations. But that credit paradigm has never really made its way to the United States economic system. I would say to you that our credit system is a disaster that puts people into servitude, endless servitude. It literally should be eliminated and a different type of credit system established, and not by people who want to keep the public down. And I really think that that credit system is one of the most devilish instruments to defile the populace and to defile people's ability to generate in this country.
Kim, you are talking exactly from my mouth. You are telling everything what I wanted to say. You said it the best way. We, as a nation, we should not exploit our people. For God's sake, we are American. We are, and everything what we are doing at present time is un-American. We are hurting our own people more than we, it's inhuman what we are doing to
exactly.
them.
Exactly, exactly.
We throw them out of their homes. We create, we embarrass the father in front of his wife and the children. And we destroy people morally, mentally, physically, financially, everything. Then we put them on the street. Next thing is we create more problem, criminal problem there. And then those people who think now we foreclose these houses, they convert, they destroy, practically, they destroy these houses, these properties. Because how they can collect money from somebody who has been foreclosed, who has no job and cannot get job because they check into his credit and his credit scores has reduced 300 points and he has to have 700, but he cannot have more, does not have more than 400. He will never get a job. He will never get a car to drive to a job. And then how can a bank collect any money from them?
The entire seed of the credit system in the United States is a devil. It's a devil. It's a devilish, inhumane system that has to be wiped out. And the only way to wipe it out is to establish a parallel economy and literally to create a new credit system that has nothing to do with that other thing, not even to be against it, to literally set up a parallel path where you establish a new credit system and you get investors all over the world to start being part of and fueling and funding that new expression of an organism that has its way to potentiate commerce, to potentiate community, to potentiate R&D, to potentiate solutions, instead of to defile and literally put the public into servitude. That's what has to happen. We're not going to be able to stop that other thing that's devilish, but we can set up a parallel, separate, completely different consciousness credit issuing system. And you're now going to do something similar to that in banking in Florida. Talk about it.
Yes. Let me add something before I get into
Please.
That. You said it exactly the way I wanted to say. I would like to add also, as you know, I came from Iran. I ran away from there because there is a tyranny of religion. They say you have to be Muslim, otherwise, you know, they exploit you, they abuse you, they do every kind of thing. Unfortunately, there they do in name of religion. In the United States, they do in name of credit. And this must stop because we are America and we are American and we have to have a, and we can do much better than we are doing at present time. There is no need. And if the idea is to be rich, we cannot be rich the way we just described. Because if you throw people out of their house, give them no jobs, how can you and take all these houses? And if you cannot sell to somebody, what are you going to do with those houses? You destroy those capital and everything else. And as a result of it, eventually the banks, they go out of business as they would have gone if the Obama administration would not have kicked in trillion of dollars into their system. Now, what I think we should be doing is we should set a bank of the state of Florida and every other state, they should do the same thing. We should provide people, give credit, 2% 15 years on mortgage, 2% energy loan, 3% car loans, 3% business loan, 6% on CDs and 6% on their credit card. And by using the fractional reserve banking regulation, we could make on every $100, using this program, we could make on every $100, $14 profit. And this money should go back to the Florida's economy to serve people. And the banks will be making millions and billions and billions of dollars, but the profit should stay here. Now, if I was governor, and I hope one day to be, I would go and buy all these foreclosed homes for the wholesale price, because that would be the best thing could happen to the commercial banking system and anybody else who holds the mortgage, that we could buy it for wholesale price and then turn around and sell to the previous owner or the people whose home has been foreclosed for the same amount plus a little bit, the cost we had. Let's say we bought a house was 100,000 and we bought it for 50,000. We may sell it for 55 or 52 or 53, depending how much cost was involved, without making any profit. And then give them 2%, 15 years, put them back into their homes and say, you are good people, you are American, and please go and live with your wife and children and be a good citizen. And let me find you some jobs that you work. And then we create the solar concept, and we put these people directly or indirectly to work in it. And we must not only give people their house, their insurance, their everything else, we should also give them dignity. People without dignity, they cannot go to the next level of their capability. And all at present time, they have to worry every month how they make this payment and that payment. And they suffer, they will throw me out of the house. This is not right. This is inhuman. We treat our dogs and cats better than that.
Some people may say or express a fear about a state going into the banking business or creating a bank. Why do you think that they're concerned? What is the concern about?
It is unnecessary because they are not going to last. If the economy continue like this, you tell me one bank could exist. Every day I read a bank here, 10 banks there, they are going out of business. Look at it. If the Obama administration would not have bailed out the banks, they would have been history by now. They cannot last on fees. If people do not have jobs, they have no incomes, they cannot make payment, and eventually they cannot pay also the fees they are asking, and at the end, the bank will collapse, the banking system. So we have to do that and create this bank of the state of Florida or other states and implement this concept I told you about the interest rate and so on. And they have to operate and make profit, ethical profit, not maximize. They should not have the drive to maximize the profit, because maximizing profit is devilish also. You have to have every company, every bank must make profit, but that is, they have to make ethical profit. For instance, to give you an example, if you use your credit card and you do not pay, let's say, when you have to pay, now they charge you, the cost of money is interest. They charge you not only finance charges, but they also charge you late fees. And then they charge you overdraft fees. Now, you tell me, why that? Because they want to put you in a position, they want to educate you to pay on time. If you have no money, how can you pay that on time?
Well, the other interesting thing about the credit card companies is actually there is no instrument of money that they're actually giving to you. And there is no transaction. There is no money. They are issuing credit on the books. That's what they're doing. But there's actually no change of money hands. So this is all about an accounting procedure. And most of the costs that they pass down to the consumer really should be outlawed. But it won't.
Yeah, but the solution is that the bank of the state banks could do it. And I want to emphasize that people should not be allergic to the word state and think it's socialism or it's communism and so on. You have to look at the concept and see what it's going to do. Now call it whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Publicly owned bank or People's Bank or whatever it is, the word is not, the name is not important. The procedure, the concept is important. And that bank should serve the economy of the state. Now, for instance, money should be just like air and water. One of the things that should be available to everybody. Now, I understand some people are not credit worthy, but they are not, it's not because they are bad people. If they do not know, they grew up in slums and they never learned what credit is, and all they learned is how to find the next piece of bread somewhere. They don't know if they give you, if you give them the money, they don't know that they have to return it. So we have to educate this group of people, but not to make a criminal out of them.
Don't you think the other thing, Fareed, is that the average person doesn't know how the bank works? In other words, the bank, for every $100 that you borrow, it can loan out 10 to 12 times that amount.
That's correct.
It's just wild. So basically, they're creating money out of thin air, and they're loaning money that isn't even there.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so powerful to get.
And if somebody wants to understand that, they should read Alan Brown's The Web of Debt, and they will read it. It's a little bit thick book, but every bit of it is entertaining. And yet, it tells you the entire story. And people should read that. And they will understand what's really happening. They are enslaving the American people. And it's no need for it without realizing that you cannot make money out of slaves. You can make money out of rich people. You can have, if a society is prosperous, you can make more money with them than you have a society which is loaded with poverty. It is like if you have a horse, it is you have fed it very well, it will run for you. You can win the race. But if you have not fed a horse and it's a meager and he hardly can stand on his feet, how can you make it, win a race with that?
Well, maybe it's not about winning for the people that are doing this. Maybe it's just about controlling the population and directing their attention and where their mindset is. People say, it's always about the money. It's not always about the money. A lot of times it's about the money. A lot of times it's just about controlling populations, controlling mindsets, controlling thinking, controlling consciousness, not letting consciousness flourish, not letting opportunity flourish. And that is the other part of this difficulty.
But even so,
yeah.
I would want to control a person who is strong. I want to control a person who is intelligent. I want to control a person who is rich. I don't want to control a person if that was my motive. I don't want to control a person who is laying dead on the street, and I don't want to control a person who is living under the bridge. I want to help these people.
I totally understand. You remind me of the Muhammad Yunus of banking in the United States, along with you and Ellen Brown. Are you going to go ahead and start the Bank of Florida, whether or not you happen to win for governor?
You see, if I don't win, still I'm going to pursue the idea. I'm going to give lectures. I'm going to go to the colleges, to the corporate America, tell them, wake up, people. You will be better off by doing this thing than what you are doing at present time. Everybody, go look at America. Go outside. Look at their stocks. Look at their inventory. Everywhere you see poverty, we are heading towards that. Go to car dealership in your neighborhood and see what it was. 2-3 years ago, loaded with cars, and go and see today. You hardly find a car there. You go to a restaurant. You see, you used to get a bigger portion. Now you get a lesser, which I have nothing against that. But they are doing it because they are trying to save it, because they cannot increase the price of
the food.
The food
costs, right.
And then go to the grocery store. See, there used to be plenty of foods everywhere. Now you see 5 pieces of tomato there and 2 romaine salad. And this is, where are we heading? Nobody sees that. Go to Wilshire Boulevard. You are in California. One time, 2-3 years ago, you could not find anything. Now it's empty. It's a ghost town. And this is happening everywhere in the United States. I drive throughout Florida, and I see everywhere sign for lease. And another thing I would like to mention also, that the landlords, they should not throw out the tenant if they cannot pay the rent. They should work with them, because every time they throw their tenant out of their property, they are not only...
It's a cascading effect, really.
They are not only compounding the problem, creating more unemployment, but also eventually, if the economy gets worse and they cannot pay the property taxes and they cannot pay the mortgages, they are going to lose their property.
I can't tell you how many people I know that are losing their homes.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Friends of mine, associates of mine. And interesting, I went to book a ticket to London and noticed that it was 4 times as much money as the last time I went out of the country. Close to $1,200 to fly Virgin to London from LA.
Yeah.
And it used to be like $325 to $400 a couple of years ago. Unbelievable.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? That is what I'm talking about, the cost. The global warming is not going to destroy America.
Not at all. Particularly since it's cooling.
The terrorism is not going to destroy America. Cost is going to destroy America, and it's doing it right now, and nobody realizes it. The biggest enemy we have at present time is cost. You have to get rid of it. Now, I understand the Keynesians, they talk about deficit spending. This is wrong idea for today's economy. 30, 40, 50 years ago, when Mr. Keynes came with his general theory of interest and whatever, and unemployment and so on, at that time, there was no China, there was no India, there was no environmental problem, there was no terrorism, there was no Islamic renaissance, there was no countries like Afghanistan or Iran or those kind of things. So oil was cheap, raw material was cheap, environmental was problem didn't exist, and there was no other countries competing with us. So they could do that. Deficit spending, they can do that. But today, they cannot do it simply. So the only thing remains is that we have to cut the cost. First, we have to freeze the cost. Then we have to reduce the cost. And wherever it's possible, eliminate it. And that is implementing solar energy system, which is a cost-reducing and cost-eliminating system. Then we have to get into interest. We have to create a system like 2%, 15 years, and those kind of things, as I described before, to reduce the cost of interest. And the insurance is another issue, that we should implement productivity into the concept so that we reduce the cost of it. Every American family worked 13 to 15 years of their life just to pay for interest, insurance, and energy.
Absurd. It's absurd, isn't it? It's so parasitic.
Yeah, and with this plan, we will be saving 10 years of their lives. 10 years of their lives for not working for these items.
I'm very excited about what you're doing and what you're about.
Thank you. I like people to read it, understand it, and support it. Now, they can go to my websites to learn more about the zero-cost economy. They can go to zerocosteconomy.com. You have to write it out, Z-E-R-O-C-O-S-T, economy.com. And to my gubernatorial website is kavariforgovernor.com, K-H-A-V-A-R-I. forgovernor.com, and they read all about it. Even we show how the future clinic should look like, which is productivity oriented. And these are the things we show, and this is where America should be going. We will be creating millions and millions of jobs and well-paying jobs, and people should prosper. And in a nation that everybody is prospering, we are better off. Now, yes, a few months ago, we have a Proposition 6 in Florida. Every teacher were so frustrated, it was unbelievable, because they were passing a legislation that they wanted to couple the pay of teachers to the performance of the students. Now, this is absurd. You cannot hold a gun in neck of on the head of a teacher and say, now teach. They cannot. We have to pay our teacher very well and have them to teach. Just concentrate on teaching. Because a nation without intelligent potential for the future, we have no nation. We have to, and teachers and the students are the two most precious assets of any nation. We have to work towards it. Make education free, higher education free, so that we have intelligent citizens that we can design things, we can make products and move to the next level of science and development. Not to have creating a retarded nation by putting pressure on teachers that they have to go 2-3 jobs, they teach, and next day, next hour, they have to work as a waitress in some place to make money because they have to meet their expenses. This is not right, and we don't need to do. I was talking with a cop yesterday, and they were saying, we are not making money. They are cutting our salaries, so we have to do moonlighting. We have to take a second job, go and watch a store, or we have to, on the highways, if you see people that at 2 o'clock at midnight, there is a cop car blocking the road for some construction work, they are moonlighting that. Now, these people, when they work that late, they cannot respond to some criminal calls if there is some criminal activity happening next day. They are tired. So these are the things which is happening in this nation. It is disastrous. And we do not need to have it. We can change it. We can change it very easily.
I'm very delighted to have you on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking to, learning from, and listening to Dr. Fareed Kavari, the author of Towards a Zero-Cost Economy and gubernatorial candidate in the state of Florida. Thank you so much for being on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach him, go to zerocosteconomy.com or Kavari for Governor. Is it .org or .com?
.com. Thank you.